Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We're part of the Yahoo Sports Network. I am your host, Nikias Duncan, and joining me, as always, is my awesome co-host, the always excellent Steve Jones Jr. Steve, happy Friday. How we doing, sir?
Feeling good, feeling great. Happy to be here, excited to be here. You put a little sauce on there, a little awesome. I like that. Thank you, Dunkers, for once again embracing your bounce. Let's talk some hoops, a little all-star style, huh?
Let's talk some hoops, indeed. Like, you know, the happy to be here hits a little different when I actually get to turn to my right and see you. So, like, this is fun vibes. I'm excited to see what this is about to be like. But we are heading into All-Star Weekend. We are both in Los Angeles for the All-Star festivities, so it feels appropriate to preview the weekend. We can start with the Rising Stars game. We've had some substitutions in terms of players being out, but just to get the lay of the land for Team Melo in this competition, we have Stephon Castle, Donovan Clingan, Jeremiah Fears, Ace Bailey, who is replacing Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, Colin Murray-Boyles, and Reed Shepard. Sean Sweeney is the head coach there for Team Vince. Matas Muzelis, Carter Bryant, who is replacing Cedric Howard, which is funny because I just saw Cedric Howard like 15 minutes ago. Yegor Jowman, VJ Edgecombe, Keyshawn George, Derek Queen, and Jalen Wells. Corliss Williamson coaching Team Vince. For Team T-Mac, we have Trey Johnson, Con Knipple, Zachary Richache, who's replacing AJ Mitchell, Cam Spencer, Jalen Tyson, Khalil Ware, and Bub Carrington, who is replacing his teammate Alex Sarr. And for Team Austin, we got Sean East II, Ron Harper Jr., Yannick Conan-Niederhauser, Elijah Martin, Tristan Newton, Young Hansen, Jameer Young, who's replacing Matt McClung, who replaced David Jones Garcia, which is a very fun one over the last 48 hours. That's, you know, hope everybody's okay. Interesting cast for these teams, Steve. Who are you most excited about? Who are you ready to see in this competition?
I mean, it always gets interesting with Rising Stars because you have the ability, especially with the format of target score, like the first round's 40, second round's 25, mm-hmm. the G League aspect of it, Team Austin. I'm always ready to see how fired up they're going to be to compete every mm-hmm. single time. I think Team Melo probably has the most skill, like versatility, so I want to mm-hmm. see what that looks like. But the more I think about it, Team Vince in this format has a level of we have size. We have the ability to drive, we can score, we have a little bit of finesse, a little bit of fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm intrigued by them. Now, you were actually at the Rising Stars practice, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't get a text. Let me check my phone. Oh. What stood out to you from that event, Nikias?
I think for me, because I did most of the podium stuff, you did get to see a little bit of the practice, see them just kind of getting up and down the floor. So unfortunately, I would love to be able to say, hey, they're going to be running these sets heading into the night. I wasn't going to forget about that.
You do that.
So I'm not going to do that today. You in particular are saved on that front. But the vibes around it, as I was talking to some media members around, like, it is very funny, like, seeing how excited the young players are. Not funny that they're excited, but, like, you get a year one player, they're very much, ooh, they want to ask me questions. I can get all this stuff, yada, yada, yada. You talk to the same player in year four, year five, they're just ready to do their media obligation and get out of here. Mm. And so it's kind of joking around about, like, oh, they seem very excited to be here. It's very cool. And so, like, I got to bounce around. Got to ask Yannick Conan-Niederhauser about his screening because he was someone that didn't grow up a big, had the late growth spurt, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So asking him, like, who taught you how to screen? Like, what has that progression been like for you? How are you fitting into this Clipper system? Those kinds of things.
Was the answer James Harden?
It was not. He talked about one of his coaches when he was back in Germany in high school. And so very interesting background okay. for Yannick, if you're not familiar. But either way, like, getting to get that kind of insight, asking Elijah Martin to your G League point, they like to get after it. And I was asking him, as he is a strong on-ball defender, like, who are some of your influences on that front? He said Drew Holiday's name like three or four times. Like, ah, that makes sense. Went into Davion Mitchell, mentioned his teammate Jamal Shedd, which I'm still not sure how we don't have Jamal Shedd as one of the replacements, but, you know, that we can save that for another time. That is A-okay. But what's up?
Will we use it another time? Because it seems like the time would be.
I guess the time would indeed be. Now, if you've been one of the best reserves in the league on a playoff team in Toronto, even if you're not like the first replacement name, the second one maybe, the third one maybe, the fourth, like, it's just kind of odd. It's been here. It's been a very good playmaker, very good defender. There's the end of the rant. We can keep on going. But again, to ask him about that, ask Keyshawn George about being on ball more and like what that experience has been like for him. And he's talking about like trying to balance getting himself buckets and getting everyone else involved. And he's enjoying that process. So like it was just in general a very fun time listening to these players kind of.
Good. The youth are all right. So they're themselves are having a good time.
They are okay.
I am intrigued to see because Team Melo, I think, was the favorite going in. Again, they are playing Team G League to start, and that could make things really funny right off the bat. Is there a team that you have as a dark horse maybe coming into Friday that you're saying, hey, I thought it might be this team, but keep an eye on this squad?
It's probably going back to when we first talked about these teams a couple weeks ago. It's probably Team T-Mac for me. That's kind of the dark horse for me. Because I was very much like, hey, man, Team Melo is very good. Castle, Klingon, you have Cooper Flagg, you got Dylan Harper. Like, there's a lot of defense, a lot of versatility, et cetera. And so now that you have Cooper Flagg out, this team is still very good. It's slated to be very good. But I am keeping an eye on what Team T-Mac can be. When you have Khan, when you have Cam Spence, when you just have that level of shooting, especially in a format like this where you're talking about the target scores and stuff, all it takes is a quick run of we've made four of our first five threes. And it's just like, oh, this is an 8-point game now. What is happening here? So I would keep an eye on Team T-Back. Is it just the G League squad for you in terms of the dark horse in this?
Yes. Okay. Right now. I think they're ready to put on a show. Team Vince's, VJ Edgecombe may do something. Like, Matas Bzelis and VJ, depending on their mindset going in. Here's the thing about this. Like, you have a team that should, in theory, be able to score. But if they do not do that, and then the other team's able to push, it can get really interesting really quick. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's like, okay, does Team Vince have the mindset to drive, or are they going to miss some shots and it's going to be over pretty quick? That's where I get a little intrigued. Like, which version of Con Knipple shows up? Is it the Cam Spencer show? Like, who emerges? Like, I feel like we're going to get a surprise MVP of Rising Stars. I'm going to be honest with you.
They got some real bucket getters on this team. Who would be, like, your Rising Star MVP? Maybe not a full-blown power ranking, but who are some players that you're keeping an eye on that front?
Cam Spencer.
That's the one.
Dylan Harper, Matas Bzelis,
okay,
VJ Edgecombe.
Okay.
It's going to be a bucket getter.
It's going to be.
Okay. I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we never get the, this guy only had 10 points, but here are all these rebounds, here are all these assists, here's the defense versatility, et cetera. At some point, we are going to respect defense in these formats and for some of the other individual awards, but that is okay. I will once again save that rant for another day. So, Steve, you mentioned dark horses. Who is the official pick for you before we move to the next competition?
Official pick to win?
Yes.
I'm probably going to go with Team Melo. I'll stick with them.
Okay.
I think they survived the G League and then win in the finals. Okay. How about you? Who's your pick?
Well, Team Melo is... Yeah, I'm going to roll with Team... I guess, you know, for the sake of the podcast, I will go with the dark horse. I'll go Team T-Mac.
So you're going with your heart.
We'll go with... You know, it's almost like T-Mac, my favorite player of all time growing up. But it's okay. We'll go with Team T-Mac. Got to have some differences here.
Speaking of your favorite player, do you want to talk about it or you want to save it?
So I posted a GIF as I checked my phone, waiting on, you know, the player stations to get swapped out and whatnot. So Chris Paul has officially announced his retirement. And I was sad about it, but I could not showcase that I was sad about it because I was around so many people and I had work to do. And I had work to do on the timer so I could get here. So I'm just like, I could just kind of compartmentalize here. So maybe I'll just have like deeper Chris Paul thoughts on Tuesday.
I thought we already did that.
Well, I was sad about how the Clippers thing ended. But, you know, it wasn't a full. I figured there'd be a team that's going to, you know.
Understood. My bad. Are you ready for NBA All-Star Saturday night?
I am excited about it.
Are you actually?
Yeah, like it's so, like I understand why people are like blah about it because what the last few years have been like, especially the dunk contest in particular. But like this is a young showcase. Like this is such an opportunity for like your Carter Bryant's of the world. Like Carter Bryant could win the weekend. Mm. You know what I mean? Like if he has a strong showing in the Rising Stars competition, then you flow into the dunk contest. Like he's been in a college basketball dunk contest before, so this isn't like his first one. We could be, and this is also coming off of what his last few games with the actual Spurs have been like, to where he is really breaking out defenses, pop, et cetera. Like, this is a real opportunity for him, just to use an example, to put himself more on the map. Like, you're already going to be watching the Spurs because of Victor Wembanyama. This is an opportunity to learn more about who Carter Bryant is. And, like, there is a lot of athleticism in the dunk contest. The 3-point shootout has a lot of names, which, actually, I want to pause there, Steve. Damian Lillard's in the 3-point contest.
That's correct.
And just has not played at all.
There's precedent here. There's precedent here.
This is true.
There's precedent. Vashawn Leonard won in 2004.
It's true.
He tore his Achilles to start the next season and then came back to defend his crown. He did not defend his crown. But there's precedent. And Damian Lillard, this will be the fourth straight year that Dame will be in the 3-point contest. And I'm ready for him to win it.
Okay.
I'm going to come right out and say it right out the gate.
That's your pick?
Dame time, yes.
Okay.
He didn't. He's leaving here with something. He didn't come here for no reason. Mm-hmm. So yeah, are you opposed to the Damian Lillard pick? Was this something where you're like, I can't believe he's here?
It's. I've been trying to balance my thoughts on it because it is legitimately cool. It's gonna be nice to see him like back in the Blazer uniform. On top of that, it's like it's cool and he has performed very well in this competition. So like I get that. On the other hand, we could have someone in the competition that has like taken and made an NBA three-pointer this season. Like I feel like that feels fair to me, with all due respect to Damian Lillard.
Rule of cool.
My counter would be there are cool three-point shooters that have taken and made threes in this NBA season.
Like who?
let's get Isaiah Joe in the contest.
He's on vacation.
You know who's already there, Steve? Who? Cam Spencer, who has been one of the best shooters in basketball this year.
Yeah, he's participating on Friday.
So is Colin Knipple, who is in the contest.
Yeah.
We have precedence.
We have Damian Lillard.
I suppose we do.
Four straight three-point contests. You know how many times he's been a Blazer in these? Second time.
That is very funny.
Two in a Bucks jersey, two in a Blazers jersey.
That's a very funny split.
And you want to take that away for some Cam Spencer.
He could be in it next year, like when he plays. That's all I'm saying. Like anti-Dame in the contest as a whole. Mm-hmm. It's just he has taken and made zero, where there are players that have, you know, made and taken a little bit more than that. I will say the Bobby Portis reaction has been very funny.
In what way?
To live through. Because you just look at the field, it's like all these guards, and then it's Bobby Portis. It's like, why is Bobby Portis here? And then you look at what Bobby Portis is shooting from three, and it's like, oh, well, that might be why he is in the competition.
Do you think Bobby Portis is going to advance far in this competition?
I don't know. Because, like, the thing that I probably spend too much time thinking about is, like, whose shot form and how quick they shoot. Like, how much does that translates to shooting off the rack? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know how I feel about Bobby in this. But, like, he has shot well this year. Like, he has a more deserving case than Dame this year.
Oh, more Dame slander. I understand. I thought you would have just been like, hey, where's Jalen Tyson type beat? You know what I mean? But no,
also has shot well and could be in the is here this weekend, so could just slide in if you want it.
So's Dame. It's fine.
It's going to be good to see
Dame. Now, the other thing is about the three-point contest, since we're there now. Do you know who won the three-point contest the last time that it was in Los Angeles in 2018?
Ooh. I sure don't, off the top of my head.
Devin Booker.
Oh.
High top fade Devin Booker, too.
You got to note that. That was also, as I was seeing some of the initial reaction to the field being named, one, it was like, wait a minute, Dame's here? He hasn't played. Then it's like, Bobby Portis, why is he here? And then seeing people realize, oh, I didn't know he was shooting like that. Because the Bucks season has been what it is. And then the third thing has been Devin Booker, who all-star, has played at an all-star / fringe all-NBA level. The three-point percentage does not stack up to the other players in the field. Now, there is obvious context with how he's guarded, the types of threes that he's taken, etc. But, like, you know.
Are you putting a threshold on this? He's an all-star. He's already there.
This is true.
Do you not remember the year where they had to just take people who were only there?
I sure do. And, like, we've also seen, like, similar things on the W side, where it's like, oh, well, this person was slated to be here. They're not there anymore. Do we have anyone in the surrounding area that could do the thing? So, not surprised. It's just like, oh.
You're a copy and pasting process to the three-point contest. I wish I was surprised.
I think there's a level of process that can go into these things.
It's okay. Let's see. What else is there? Jamal Murray. First time. Could be fun. Norman Powell. Looking for revenge. Could be fun. Do you have a pick? You have a selection. You have someone you think is going to win the three-point contest, Nick Ives.
My heart says Khan. Not going to hold you.
Okay.
My head, however, this feels like Donovan Mitchell gets hot.
So it feels like you're making two picks.
My official pick is going to be Donovan Mitchell.
Ah, so you're going against your heart.
I am going against my heart.
Wow.
Sometimes you have to do
that. That's a song.
Well played. But I think Donovan Mitchell is going to take it.
Okay.
That'd be the official pick. I say Khan is, I guess, is dark horsey for me. But I'll go with Donovan Mitchell. You already have Damian Lillard in.
I do. Are you excited for the return of shooting stars, Nick Ives?
Yes, Steve. So two thoughts quickly.
Okay.
One, very excited about shooting stars being back because I love that competition. It is also very funny that it seems that it has just flat out replaced the skills competition. After
Chris Paul ruined the skills competition. can't do it anymore because he cheated. He ruined the skills competition. You and Wimby.
I don't
to be ashamed of yourself. Don't.
I still think the rules should have been better written and should have been more clear about what is and what wasn't allowed. And the fact that Wimby asked about this, hey, is this okay? He gets the okay. You don't get to tell him it's fine. And then, hey, that's really not a good look. Actually, never mind, you're out.
Yeah, I have a much simpler solution. Don't break the rules.
I don't think they broke it.
Integrity.
the principle matters now.
Today, yes.
Oh, today. You know what? We'll put a pin in that one. That's fine. But I did find that funny that it is just flat out replaced the skills challenge. Because as you mentioned, we have the Chris Paul Wimby thing. They're like, nah. And then as I was just kind of thinking through this field that includes Scottie Barnes, we are also less far removed from like him and Tyrese Maxey. Their overtime round in which they missed all of the shots. And Scottie's had a time.
This is burning your brain for some reason, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. I'm just like, why? Tyrese Maxey missed all his threes. Scottie misses like a layup. It's like, okay, what's going on here? We get to another round with those two plus Trae Young because they were on the team together. And like Scottie has the over the head shot that has just burned it. So I'm fascinated to see how Scottie Barnes is going to approach this competition. I think that's where I earnestly start.
Well, he can only do so much because there are a lot of rules to this. This is true. I went through yesterday through the media guide. Very specific. You got a minute and 10 seconds to shoot from seven locations. You have to all three people shoot from the first location to get to the next location. Mm. And you have to maintain the same order or else the shot doesn't count. I found that out while reading.
Okay.
So it's very intense.
Reading is good.
Each player must shoot from each location.
Okay.
And so that could get fun. There's no real half-court stuff involved, which I'm a little bummed about.
Yeah.
I think the seventh spot's just like a deep three. But because I've read the rules, I'm picking Team Knicks. They have three shooters. Sorry, Team Harper. Cool story. Love that. Not rooting for Team Cameron. Sorry.
I understand. Okay. Well, I guess to rewind a little bit, the field for the Shooting Stars competition, Team All-Star, Scottie Barnes, Chet Holmgren, and Richard Hamilton as the legend. Shout out, Rip. Team Cameron, which is just the Duke squad of Jalen Johnson, Con Knipple, and Corey Maggette. Team Harper is Dylan Harper, Ron Harper Jr., and Ron Harper Sr. And as Steve mentioned as his pick, the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, Karl Anthony Towns, and Allen Houston, which I don't think that's an unfair pick to make in light of the shooters. So that's a good one. You know what? I'm going to go Team Cameron. We was going to ride the Conway. I didn't pick him for the three-point contest. So, like, surely he wins one of those.
Sure, rocking your own with Duke.
I suppose for this particular competition,
okay,
we'll roll with Duke. Steve, what are your dunk contest thoughts heading in? Just a big shrug emoji.
It's cool that Jace Richardson's in there, and his father did it before.
Mm-hmm.
I have no expectations for the dunk contest. Let's see what happens. Hopefully you guys are clean with your dunks and everyone has a good time. I'm not an All-Star Saturday anger merchant. It's a traditional event. I'm be honest, I'm tired of everyone just, this stinks. This is really stinks. This is bad. this stinks. Let's fix it. And every time you try and fix it, it's not fixable. Mm-hmm. I live through the wheel on the slam dunk contest.
If I
live through the wheel, I have no other expectations for this event. Clean dunks. Let's make it quick. We're good to go. Have some fun. No Mac McClung, so that's over with.
Why you saying it like that?
It's over with. He won three. Like, he doesn't have to do that anymore.
Okay. He
can focus on being a basketball player.
Okay. Did you see his comments that he was getting like some feedback that other players weren't going to do it if he was going to be in it?
I have a thought. They weren't going to do it. Anyways.
Okay. Got you.
I'm picking Jace Richardson. I'm assuming you're taking Carter Bryant. Or do you have dunk contest thoughts? Are you concerned? Do you have a state of the dunk contest take you'd like to get off, Nikai?
Him? Well, no, I really don't. Okay. I wish I should have had like a prepared statement for the bit. I do. I'm kind of in your camp. It was like, we don't have to yell about how bad it is before it actually happens. And I don't think you have to have star names to have a good dunk contest.
Tell them.
And so that's where I would like for more people to at least give the shot. Now, we are going to talk about what happened over All-Star Weekend on the next pod. If the dunk contest thinks, you know, we have no issue saying, hey, this was not good. But, like, don't look at the names and then immediately be like, oh, well, I don't see Zion. I don't see Anthony Edwards. I don't see insert star name that could dunk here. Like, well, this is going to be trash. This is another example that the dunk contest is trash. Like, we don't have to jump straight to that without even seeing it. Like, I'm intrigued to see what Jace is going to do, because, like, the in-game dunks have been what they are, but, like, he does seriously have some hops. And so in this setting, I'm excited to see what he's going to look like. He certainly has a name to live up to in this regard. Like, Jackson Hayes is doing between-the-legs dunks and 360 and stuff in-game. Carter Bryant can fly. And so I'm intrigued to see what he's going to look like in the NBA dunk contest. And then Keyshawn Johnson. I've certainly had a lot of heat thoughts on this podcast. I'm going to be positive this time.
You sure? Keyshawn
Johnson can fly.
Okay.
Powerful dunker on top of that. I feel like, with no actual reporting to add to this, but like I feel like he's going to come out trying to do some nonsense complimentary because of the athleticism deep positions. So like Keyshawn's probably going to be my pick, honestly.
Okay.
But my general message is just like, let's give this a chance. Because if you come out of here like, oh, snap, I did not know player X could dunk like that. I can't believe player Y did this dunk. That's all you need. That's all you need. This is a precursor to the All-Star game anyway. So, like,
understood.
Let's just give these guys.
Do you know who won the dunk contest in 2018, last time it was in L.A.?
I don't.
Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, well, there you go.
Trivia.
Shout out to you with the L.A. trivia.
Fun facts.
The Steve stats are always a good time. All right, we are back with this episode of the Dunker Spot, and Steve, it's time to talk about Sunday, the actual All-Star game. Different format, we have different teams. We've got the Team USA, Team World. We got two Team USAs. We got the Stars and the Stripes. It's a whole thing this year, which I'll first rewind with a question that I asked you a while ago when this is announced. Like, how do you feel about the format now that we are here with it?
I feel fine. I mean, I think the interesting part is going to be the length of the game. I mean, you have 12 minutes, basically a quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a target score. So just go out there and play. We'll see if that's enough time to allow it to become competitive and not get into the land of three-point makes. Now make this a 20-point lead, mm-hmm. and now the other team can't come back, which I personally have felt like has been the thing as they rev up and warm up. One team is making threes, the other team is not. Now it's a deficit. Still could happen, but I wonder if that minimizes that.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing for me is let's just make sure it's clean in between games. Don't do like 90 minutes in between the games. Make sure it's clean. But I think there should be enough of competitive juice there, especially with how Victor Wembanyama has talked and him being in the first game,
mm-hmm.
Can make it very interesting. So that'll be fun, especially like, so let's say Team World wins game one and they face the other Team USA
mm-hmm.
in game two, and then they should advance to the finals. That'd probably be like if you were writing the script, how you would want it. But mm-hmm. we'll see how it lands. How do you feel better about this year's format? Do you feel like it's going to fix the competitive nature of it? Do you think everyone's going to compete in this one?
To answer the third question first, like I think it's still going to be no, that everyone is going to do the thing that is going to disappoint me, and I'll probably have an accompanying rant on Tuesday. So no, I would love to be proven wrong, but we've seen enough. Probably not. I do think, to your point about the timing of the event, like I think that does kind of breed a better context for this to be competitive. So like if it is 12 minutes, do we get the general All-Star game nonsense for the first four, and then the final eight is where it gets competitive or something like that? What's up?
What is the general All-Star game nonsense?
Oh, you know, the layup line for the first three quarters.
Oh.
Yeah. So nonsense is probably too strong.
Okay.
But as I have been one of the people that have complained, like, hey, you don't have to give playoff level effort. You only have to give regular season effort. Give me 60. You know what I mean? Like, the last few games have kind of gone from like 40 to 25 to 60. Like, it can't be that low. And so with this being shifted a bit, like, I do think this is a better context for us to actually get 60% effort, 65% effort. And then if it is close, then it ramps up to 70, 75. But again, I don't think it's ever going to be a 100% regular season playoff type effort bit in an All-Star game. And like, I don't think we're going to get back to the year Kyle Lowry was taking charges.
Is that the benchmark everyone remembers now? Is that the one? Everyone's like, bookmarking Kyle Lowry taking charges?
Bro, that final quarter was crazy, though. And like, I guess I'm also biased, like, I was in the building for that. And it's just like, hey, they are actually getting after it here. Like, this is a lot of fun. So, again, I don't think it's fair to hold everyone to that, because you are, again, you are literally risking your body in that point. But like, the level of competitiveness that breeds, I will take this charge because I want to get an extra possession, I do think that is cool. That has been the high mark as of the last few years, at the very least.
No, I like the way they're basically trying to make sure that third game is competitive into the finals. So I'm intrigued by how that's going to work out. Yeah. It ends up being four quarters, but they have potential dogs, right? Like Jaylen Brown gets super competitive, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe Anthony Edwards gets competitive. Is Jalen Duren playing? How does that work?
I think Chris Haynes tweeted out that, you know, before the suspensions were officially announced, that Duren and others would be able to participate in the All-Star Weekend stuff.
That's funny.
So I think Duren is in. I guess this isn't technically a regular season game, so like it's not.
But then he can't play the next game they play.
Yeah, that's – well, I mean, that's the regular season game. So yeah, no, yeah, that's a game check. I don't think you get it, you know. So, yeah, that is a funny one. Okay, before going further, to actually get these teams out here, since there have been a lot of injury replacements, and I guess we are technically still waiting to see if anything happens with Luka Doncic. But team stars right now, Scottie Barnes, Devin Booker, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, who's eligible, Anthony Edwards, Chet Holmgren, Jalen Johnson, Tyrese Maxey. Cool group, younger group. For team stripes, as Katie dubs them the OGs, we have Jaylen Brown, Jalen Brunson, Kevin Durant, De'Aaron Fox, who replaced Giannis Antetokounmpo, which that is a whole...
Doesn't he technically replace Norm Powell? Who replaced Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Like, yes, but like, blame the hashtag official statements, not me. But either way, after all the roster shuffling, we have De'Aaron Fox on team stripes now. Brandon Ingram, who's replacing Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Donovan Mitchell. And for Team World, we have Denny Avdia, Luka Doncic. But again, we are waiting to see if he's actually going to participate this weekend or if there's going to have to be someone else that slides in here, and then maybe we have more roster shuffling. We will see. Norman Powell, Alperen Şengün, who's replacing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Pascal Siakam, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Victor Wembanyama. So a fun group indeed. Actually, question for you, Steve. How did you feel about De'Aaron Fox getting the All-Star selection here to replace Giannis in this?
I thought it was fine. Salute to Mitch Johnson, who
he called it out.
Let everyone know, hey, just so you know, we are the 2 seed, and I do think we should have more than one All-Star. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think De'Aaron Fox has been worthy. I think he's been a really big impact player for San Antonio. Like, they don't get to this level without what he brings to the table. Mm-hmm. I think people forget about that sometimes. Like, I don't necessarily know, is there a snub that we're thinking of that shouldn't have gotten in there? Like, I doubt James Harden would have wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. After I just got traded, man, I'm cool.
You want me to come back to LA? Like, I think I'm all right. So, to answer your question about,
I know you have a list.
I do indeed have a few players that I feel have been better than De'Aaron Fox. I'll say first, I echo your sentiments. Shout out Mitch Johnson, who not only called this out, it was like the end of like a presser, and no one had asked him about it. And he's like, oh, so by the way, since nobody asked me about this.
Yeah, he definitely gave that up on his own unprompted.
He came in with a plan. So I respect that portion of it. I think, and we've talked about this before, I don't like the argument of my team is here and so therefore we deserve X amount, or this team is here and therefore this player does not deserve.
Let's pause.
X amount. Okay.
If you're a team with Toronto that has two, why shouldn't the Spurs have two?
The Spurs have to have two players that have been that good. Like, that's the way that I think about it.
But I'm asking, like, if you're saying there, if you go to the Western Conference and all these teams have multiple All-Stars except mm-hmm. for the second best team in the West, that's not a little odd. Mm-hmm. That's not a little odd.
For me personally, no. And like, I guess to also bounce off of that, like, I would have went like Michael Porter Jr. or someone before I got to Brandon Ingram this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I think he's been better than Ingram this year.
I don't.
That's fair. Like, you've been higher on – you went Ingram over Scottie this year.
Yeah.
Like, you were very high on what the – not even saying that jokingly. You've been higher, very high on the Ingram experience in Toronto. So, correct. Like, I'm not surprised by that. And so that's why, like, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for everyone else. Like, I don't subscribe to, well, Toronto got two, so we need to get two. my thing is, do you have all-star caliber guys? Like, it even goes back to, like, the LeBron AD era.
Yeah, but
when the Lakers were mid, like, if LeBron and AD have been top eight players in the conference, I think they should be rewarded as top eight players in the conference. Like, I don't really – like, I care, but I don't care that a better team hasn't had two players as good as LeBron or AD, to use that example. Mm-hmm. So when we get to the Spurs bit, yes, the Spurs are the two seed. I don't think De'Aaron Fox has had a better year than Julius Randle, for example.
Why?
I think the scoring has been better for Mr. Randle. Naturally, the rebounding. But, like, I think he's been a better scorer. I think the overall offensive burden has been... it's been higher in some contexts, especially with Fox missing some games. And, like, for me, like, I value what Randle has done in Minnesota's offense, especially in, like, the non-Ant minutes and what he's been able to do and carry in those regards. So, like, I can get to Randle having a better year than Fox.
Okay.
But, like...
How big is the gap?
I don't think it's a massive one, but I do think he has been better than him. Right, and so that's where I would say, like, yes, the Spurs have been better than the Wolves. But if we're talking all-star appearances, has Fox been better than Randle? Like, I would say no. I think others could argue Fox has been better if they want to.
Okay.
And that's fine. But, like, that's where I'm just like, I don't think it should just be baked in. This team below me has two, so therefore I have to have two.
I don't think it's baked in. It could just be some people's criteria.
Yeah.
I mean, value winning. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, cool. I'm glad you won this amount of games, but I've seen De'Aaron Fox impact winning on top of the stats. And yeah, I think he deserves a shot at the All-Star game.
Yeah, like, I would just disagree.
Yeah, but, like, subjective.
It is. Yeah, that's what I'm not stomping my feet about it, but I'm just like,
are you sure?
Yeah.
Your feet are moving.
I literally can't stomp the feet if I need to. But no. So that's where I'm just like, huh. And I made the tweet about it. Like, I mentioned James Harden, mentioned Julius Randle.
Who else?
Mentioned MPJ.
Okay.
If you go further down the list,
there's,
like,
more.
I mean, there can be, but you know, in the interest of time. But De'Aaron Fox is in, so I figured I just wanted to get your thoughts.
You did not like that.
I disagreed with it.
Not like that.
I'm being diplomatic. Yeah. I disagree with the selection, but shout out to De'Aaron Fox.
Okay, there, understood.
So now, as we get into the nitty gritty of this, Steve. I'm kind of intrigued by what the OGs may pull up in here. Like, KD's been talking.
Okay.
As he's been asked about the general effort level in these things. He's like, hey, man, y'all come talk about us. Y'all don't ask anybody else about this, et cetera. I'm fascinated to see what the effort level is going to be like in this competition. And just looking at the roster itself, like, what these lineups are going to be, what the sub patterns are going to be. If this is a competitive game towards, like, the 3-minute mark or whatever, what is the closing group going to be?
I feel like you have to start all the veterans, right?
Okay.
Like, if LeBron's playing, it's got to be LeBron, Kawhi, KD, Brunson, and Jaylen Brown, right?
Probably, yeah.
Don't sleep on the LeBron aspect of it, by the way. This guy is goofing around.
He is having fun.
He is very light. The triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
Letting everybody know about it.
No, he hit the mellow to get that 10th rebound.
By the way, it's not my game. I can keep playing. It's just, you know, my body.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm intrigued by that aspect of it. Or who are you trying to say should start? Because I know it's not going to be Brandon Ingram.
Well, with all due respect, I don't think I would start Brandon Ingram in this one.
Help him, Toronto.
Come on. I think I can acknowledge Brandon Ingram has been good while thinking other players have been better. That's the heart of what I wanted to get to. But I think it'd probably be like what you said. It's going to be the vets, especially since they don't really have a center on this group, which I am kind of fascinated to see, like, how that will play out, if at all. Like, if you get into the team world matchup.
They all have all bigs.
Yeah, like, that can get kind of funny. But that also gets into, like, the first 2-3 minutes of the game, if it's free-flowing. Like, does that help them? Because we just have the speed advantage for who's going to get these dunks. And that maybe it won't matter as much. So, like, the early process is going to be interesting to me. I am glad that you brought up LeBron. It feels very much appropriate to bring him up in this context as he's in it. This could be his last one. We will see. I want to see how he comes out and how he approaches this. I think once we get – if it is a close game, we get to the end of it, the ball is going to be in his hands, just off principle, I would imagine. Does he take on more of a playmaking role there? Does he want to go out guns blazing? Like, what is that part going to look like? I'm kind of intrigued.
Are you sure about that? Yeah. I feel like Jaylen Brown might disagree.
He may disagree. Which, I'm glad you... Do you have any thoughts on, like, the IG post? It was, like, the side-by-side standings of, like, where the Celtics were at the All-Star break last year versus where they are this year. It was just that.
Are they the same?
No.
Or are they slightly better?
They are slightly worse than where they were last year. But, I mean, obviously, they are still a top three seed in the East. So, like, I think the general point is, like, yeah, we are still very good.
Unmoved.
Okay. I figured I'd get your thoughts.
Also, it does appear Luka is on track to play.
Oh, there we go. I
believe there's recent reporting. They had a great workout. Shout out to Mark Stein. So looks like he's going to play.
Shout out Mark Stein. Okay, so then we have Luka. So Team World's roster is still, even as you're missing Giannis, you're missing Shea. Like, it is still Wimby who can really set the tone from an energy slash effort perspective, from a defensive perspective. If he cares about it.
I think he does. I was about to ask this question. Which player is the straw that stirs this drink in this game? Is it just Wimby? Is there a wild card? Is it Jalen Duren? Does he need to do something nonsensical?
I think if I'm going team by team, like with the stars, I'd keep an eye on Cade and Tyrese Maxey.
Okay.
For the OGs, it better be Kevin Durant. But you mentioned Jaylen Brown on top of this. We'll see what LeBron does in this regard. For Team World, like, it is just Wimby, frankly. Okay. And if I can go back to Team Stars real quick, where's my camera?
Oh.
Mr. Anthony Edwards, one of the best players that we have in the NBA, a legitimate superstar, potential to be the best player in the league at some point. I need you to at least pretend to care this weekend. Once we get here, I am personally begging you. We don't need a repeat of last year. Do you see how, remember how fed up Wimby was with Anthony Edwards?
Yes, correct.
Like, please, bro, give us something. Because to the, you know, stirring the drink, it's like he should have been my answer for Team Stars. And he was very low on my list based on what we have seen from him in all-star settings before. The talent is not the question. It is very much an effort. It is very much a matter of, does he want to do it? How much does he want to do? I hope that we get the opposite of what we have seen. Because if we get that, we can really have some fun this weekend.
I thought you were going to go Jalen Johnson there. Do you have a winner?
Jalen Johnson's got a guard. We'll see what's going to happen on there.
we're going heart versus head again.
We sure are, Steve. Okay. We sure are. I think it'd be a great story if Team Stripes wins.
Really?
I think it'd be a great story if we get the send-off for Bron, and KD has a moment, and Kawhi has a moment, and Jaylen Brown knocks down all kinds of middies, and that's it. I think it'd be cool.
Okay, so you're not picking them.
I am not picking Team Stripes. Honestly, probably against my better judgment, I think I am going Team Stars. This is also why I'm like, Ant, please don't make me look bad by picking y'all. But there is literal youthful exuberance here. But like, there is a mixture of speed and shot making and defense and size up front. That like, I am intrigued by that mix.
This roster is definitely built for Nekias Duncan.
It is built for definitely. Me. Like, I think if Team World is fully healthy, and they may just end up winning it anyway. Like, if you're telling me like they also had Shea, they also had Giannis, like it is Team World like very easily for me. But they are missing enough players, and like there's enough like early juice that can be had here to where I'm leaning Team Stars heading into the weekend.
I'm picking Team World, and Wimby is the All-Star MVP. Okay. I'm calling it now, right now. Book it.
Okay, I like it.
Is that a thing you can say?
I would probably stay away from
then book a ticket.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Trying to get me.
Well. We'll let it rock. I'm going Team Stars. I will say Tyrese Maxey, All-Star Game MVP.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if they win.
Okay.
I think Maxey's set up to do well with pull-ups and drives and things. So that is where we'll go. Steve, before we close out this segment, we did have some news.
Did we?
Come through the pipeline.
What happened?
The NBA has fined the Utah Jazz $500,000 for a conduct detrimental to the league. This coming from matchups against the Orlando Magic on February 7th and the Miami Heat on February 9th. The Utah Jazz notably went 1-1 in those games. blew a lead against the Orlando Magic with no late timeout, et cetera, et cetera. And then they just beat the Heat, which annoyed me to no end, but this is not the podcast to do so. From the statement from the NBA, during those games, again, against the Magic on the 7th and against the Heat on the 9th, the Jazz removed two of the team's top players, Lauri Markkanen and Jaren Jackson Jr., before the beginning of the fourth quarter and did not return them to the game, even though these players were otherwise able to continue to play and the outcomes of the games were thereafter in doubt. So that's the Utah Jazz portion. They have also fined the Indiana Pacers $100,000 for violating the player participation policy that come from a matchup against, funny enough, the Utah Jazz on February 3rd. From the statement from the league, following an investigation, including review by an independent physician, the NBA determined that Pascal Siakam, a star under the policy, and two other Pacers starters, neither of whom participated in the game, could have played under the medical standard in the policy, including by playing reduced minutes. Alternatively, the team could have held the players out of other games in a way that would have better promoted compliance with the policy.
I understand why this happened. Okay. A lot of chatter.
So much chatter.
Around the Utah Jazz for whatever reason, considering they've won, what, three of their last six games after losing how many?
A lot.
Now we decide to circle and spin the block and act like they're bad? When they've just been bad, we're not – okay, it's fine. But, hey, this is very much sibling A, sibling B. Doesn't matter. You go to your room, you go to your room. But no, it doesn't matter. Give me your phone, you give me your iPad. Give it up.
Okay.
So Utah, hey, just know that I know that you know that I know that you know that I know. And Indiana should have done it better. You know the rules. You know exactly what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You had the right idea, but not like that. Why are we finding a team who won a game?
Thank you.
They won a game and they almost won the other one. I'm very confused by this. Also, Jaren Jackson Jr. is now out. Hopefully he is well, because you never want to have growth in your knee, but he's now out.
Yeah.
And now it's just like we're doing so much talking about the Utah Jazz being scandalous. And it's like, well, bro, now they're just going to be like minutes restrictions for all our guys. Now what? You dislike how teams talk about injuries? It's going to be lower tightness. 25-minute restriction. Right, lower.
Shout out unrivaled upper extremity, lower extremity.
Stop trying to fix it. I'm tired of the ideas. We don't need a mythological tournament that no coach is going to want to coach and no player is going to want to play in for the rights to a pick. But who's going to be there? Who's going to want to play in that? We don't need to freeze the season at an untimed date These teams that you are quoting as tanking are just bad. And a lot of these teams didn't mean to be this bad. You think Memphis meant to be here? Milwaukee, New Orleans? No, they didn't mean to be here.
No.
Utah, they earned their way here by losing a lot of games. So did Washington. So did your beloved Brooklyn Nets. They let Cam Thomas go home. No one yelled at them.
It's Cam Thomas getting all the buckets in
Milwaukee. Yeah, no one called for a scandal there.
Well, that's because we kind of...
Well, we're picking and choosing, aren't we, huh? Everyone needs to just relax, okay? Enough with the tanking talk. Enough. I'm done with it. I don't want to hear it.
Enough.
Stop trying to fix this.
You're making it worse.
It's not like the draft... It doesn't work anyways. It's not like you get the number one pick anyways. We've seen the process. It's fine. I'm in a good place.
Okay.
We're fine. Please stop. Please stop.
And another thing, okay, you know, in all seriousness, we talked about this earlier in the week, and my general thought was, like, I don't really think this is a huge deal, but I understand why people are like, hey, what's going on here? And I get the construct of either sit your players out and just let the rest compete,
but you can't.
Or play them.
You can't sit them out anymore. It's because of rules. So we have to try and find a way to do it. And now you people got mad, and I'm just going to play people 2 minutes to start the fourth quarter. Now you can't do that thing anymore. Now
well, see, now you did. And
now we're legislating coaching, because what happens if it's a lead and I cut up 5 minute stretches, it's too late to bring them back in? It's fine. Go ahead. Sorry to cut.
I'd wager it's not fine, actually, based on your reaction. But that's ultimately what I would want to lead into, Steve. We are entering a really weird gray area to where you're now trying to dictate when players are supposed to play, and like that's not the jurisdiction of the league. I understand why they want to curb the conversation around this, and I understand in general wanting to protect the competitive integrity of the league. And so I think in with the league and just in general in life, like you just want to be proactive about making things better versus, oh, this is a problem. I now have to fix this. If you see something slipping, like, hey, let's try to get this right type beat. So, like, I understand that as a concept as well. When you've already flattened lottery odds, so to your point, like, the worst record does not guarantee that you have X amount or whatever. Like, Utah was awful and they slid. You know what I mean? The Dallas Mavericks barely missed the play-in and got Cooper flag. Like, these, it just kind of opens up. And so, like, you're kind of hurting the actual bad teams at the bottom because of the flat nods. You are thus incentivizing some of these teams that are, like, at the edge of the play-in bubble. Like, do I want to be 10 and then have to play two games to potentially lose to the one seed in four or five games? Or do I just want to, like, play my younger guys and have a chance at jumping up in the lottery like the Dallas Mavericks just did, or insert teams that have jumped up? You're now widening the pool when you didn't really intend to widen the pool. And so now you're also trying to say, like, well, this guy was healthy, so he should have been in the fourth quarter at some point. Like, you don't know that. Like, there have been so many games that we've talked about through the history of this podcast, Steve, where, like, a team is down 12 or, you know, down 16 or something, a second unit makes a run, and the coach is like, well, I'm just riding with y'all. Y'all the hot lineup. We cool. Like, what happens if there is a game in which the Utah Jazz are down or up at the half? They blow a third quarter lead, early fourth quarter, without their stars on the floor. They make a run, and then they lose anyway, or something like that.
Well, then are you just look at the box score and say that these guys didn't play, so they were trying to lose, because that's what teams do. Yeah. Yeah, that's how coaches play. That's how players play. That's the game of basketball. That's the mindset. So anyone who thinks that, what do you think that speech is in the locker room? Like, just run that by me real quick. Like, hey, yeah, get out there, John Conchar. Hope you don't win. What do you think that's about? Like, honestly, do we think that's what we're going with?
Like, probably not.
I had such better thoughts at 5:30 this morning when I thought about this initially. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just mad.
You know, and these things happen to okay. you. Like, welcome. But, like, it's so I don't like when you get to a place to where you're trying to meddle to this degree. Again, I understand the heart and intent behind doing so and trying to find some kind of a quote-unquote solution. But it's also just a level of, I don't know, like, you.
There's also a chance these teams are bad. Some teams are just bad some years. It happens.
Yeah. Like,
you just lose a lot.
Sometimes that just happens. Like, you're chopping off your arm because your elbow itches. Like sure, your elbow doesn't itch anymore, but, like, did you have to do all that? Like, probably not. You know what I mean? Like, it
feels like I could have got lotion there.
That would probably be helpful.
Gotcha.
Shout out, you know. But, yeah, I don't think it has to be all that. So, I don't really love that. I understand why the league. It's like, hey, we got to say something. We got to do something. 500K is just a lot.
Hey, Will Hardy's going to have bars for the media the rest of the year.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break. And when we return, we have a lot of unrivaled action to catch up on and to preview. One-on-one tournament started. We had some fun. Please stay tuned. And we are back with this episode of The Dunker Spot, and it is time to talk Unrivaled. Steve, we have more news on the most recent episode of the pod. We talked about a four-team trade that featured three teams that had players switching hands, and the natural question was, what exactly are the roles getting out of this?
Hold on. I do have to apologize, because I was like, why are you so curious about the team that didn't have a player involved in the trade? And now I know why. So my bad.
No, it's all good. It would appear that what they got out of this is last year's Defensive Player of the Year and part of the championship squad of the Rose last year. Angel Reese, welcome back to Unrivaled. And so natural question is, in what ways do you foresee Angel helping this Rose group, as they are just kind of floating around the middle of the standings right now, Steve, but still in a playoff position?
In what ways was she not, I guess, would be the biggest thing. Being able to play pick and roll with Chelsea Gray is a big advantage. The defense speaks for itself. Shot creation, drives, ability to make plays one-on-one. We saw the growth last year. Mm-hmm. So it's a massive boost. One where I'm very curious as to how did you guys just get Angel Reese mid-season? I'm raising my hand, personally. Okay, yeah, this trade's great, but how did that work out? What? But that's a different story for a different day. How do you see Angel Reese impacting the Rose?
Oh, man. I've been so, as we've talked about, on the pod, offline, I have been so stressed out watching the Rose play defense for most of this season. And I think adding Angel, who can execute multiple coverages, or if you are just going to lean further into the switching, she can just do that. I think that is going to shave so much off of the nonsense that we've seen from Rose BC recently. So, like, I think that is going to help. She's going to help them end possessions. She's actually going to help them get extra possessions. She is the best rebounder that we have and unrivaled in women's basketball, period. So, like, that's going to be the impact. But, Steve, I am so, so excited that you raised your hand on the acquisition itself. Because entered this pod prepared to get yelled at for raising some questions about how this happened. And so for you to bring this up before I did, I am the monkey's off the back. I'm so excited. Hey, so we had the draft, right? And it was my understanding that depending on where you landed in the standings last year, you got to protect one or two players from the previous team, et cetera. I think if Angel was a part of the player pool heading into the draft, I would guess, this is not reported, but I would guess Rose BC protects Chelsea and they protect Angel. That would be my guess. And if they're able to bring back anyone from there, then, you know, you obviously do that. And so it does present this weird gray area to where they protect their two, they draft their team. If I'm not mistaken, like, wasn't Shook Sutton just, like, already out dealing with illness and stuff? So, like, they're already kind of down to five. You trade as a race, so you're down to four, but you do this during the week in which there isn't, like, a full-blown unrivaled game because the one-on-one tournament is going. Mm-hmm. The general rule, as was talked about before the season started with the development pool, is that if you drop the four or lower, that's when you're adding development pool players. There was no game, and so now you have the leeway to add Angel back.
Yeah.
Though she, and it's like, none of that is technically illegal, but that is a weird gray area that I wonder if they are going to try to address that heading into Unrivaled Season 3.
What's there to address? You don't know who we did protect and who we didn't protect. Maybe we protected Angel the whole time. How do you know?
I mean, if she wasn't mentioned as part of if she wasn't mentioned as part of the player group that was going to be in Unrivaled this year, I don't think you could protect her.
Who'd she play for last year?
She played for Rose.
Who'd she play for this year?
Well, she's playing for the Rose again. But that wouldn't be how the protection rules work.
How do you know?
And this, okay, well then in that case, if we're following that logic, that's even more reason. That's an even wider gray area then that they should properly try to address. Because like you zoom out, like we are talking about unrivaled roster shenanigans. It's an off-season league. Like, there are much more important things going on in the world than worrying about the rules of free agency with Unrivaled. So, like, duh. But I think it's worth raising the hand about at the very least. And if you ask and you get an answer, it's like, okay, well, that makes more sense than it is what it is, right? But, like, that was interesting to me, the way that played out. And, like, I also wonder, because this is, you know, Angel played for Rose BC last year, but even if she didn't, this is Angel Reese. If a star like Angel Reese is like, hey, I would like to participate in your league, I don't think Unrivaled is going to say no, nor should they say no. Like, I'm more so now envisioning if we get to next year and we get to mid-February and Asia's like, hey, I'm cool to play for 3 or 4 weeks.
It's different.
I'm just saying, like, what?
No prior team.
That is true.
No can do. And technically, to make you even more mad, they traded away Azrae, who technically could have been the person they protected, to get the person they actually wanted to protect. So there you go. Winner, chicken dinner. I did both.
You know, well done, Steve. Well done. Hey, listen, I will give it to you. So, brow raised a little bit, but ultimately, I am glad Angel's back. She is very good.
Yes.
She is very good for the league.
Yes.
And she should help Rose BC, who, as of recording, Steve, they are the 5 seed at 5-6. They are only a game and a half ahead of the 7th-seeded Hive. So they do need to stack some wins, as do the Vinyl, who only have a half-game lead over the Hive, the 6th and final playoff spot. So we are going to see what that part looks like. But okay, Andrew Reese, member of Rose BC. Now to the one-on-one tournament, Steve.
Very intrigued to see how you consumed the first round of this.
Oh, boy. I was in a headlock. No, that's no. I will say, like, like the concept of one-on-one is obviously very cool. These are very talented and competitive players in this context. You add in like, what is it, a 7-second shot clock? You have the, you know, the question that I had as I was watching, what and question? This, and maybe this is just part of like trying to remember things for year one. Cause like they have the person you could pass the ball to before you can come clear it. Like I was just kind of waiting on in one of the big matchups for rebound, pass the person, get behind the 3-point line. We have cleared it, give it back to the passer. Like, let me set up, let me seal type beat.
Nah, you got to clear the 3-point line, get the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't repass. No. Okay. See, then I was like, huh, I'm just kind of waiting on Lee Yeru to like just try to seal Stewie. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess you can't do that. No. So, okay, that was the way my brain was working early on. But as far as the matchups themselves, we had Chelsea Gray defeat Natasha Cloud 11-10. It was a bit of a comeback win for Chelsea Gray. And as I tweeted, I'll bring it to the pod too. It was a great comeback win for Chelsea, who ends it with a 3. And I'm just like, Natasha Cloud had so many opportunities to win that matchup. Because it was very clear as we got towards the end of that matchup, both players were tired, but like Chelsea seemed very tired. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of waiting on the singular drive from Natasha Cloud that probably would win the game. And she just kept taking threes. And I'm just like, hey, I promise if you take one more, you might have this.
Well, here's the thing. She took the drive up 10-5. Didn't work.
Got to do it again. No,
it's like this is the thing about one-on-one. This is why it's hard. You only have so many moves you can make, right? Mm-hmm. And if something doesn't work, it's very hard to then once again do it again, especially if that person's strong like Chelsea Gray. So it's like, okay, let me see if I can get this bucket off. How did Chelsea Gray come back? She made 2 threes.
Yeah.
She had nothing else. Nothing else to give. Tried to go bully ball in the post. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. That was it. She's like, hey, all I got is this 3.
And that further feeds into like, hey, you might be able to get this drive again because it's
open shot.
It's
open shot.
For a reason, question mark?
That's not how one-on-one works.
Am I?
You just decline a clean shot just to go drive into someone?
Hey, look, if I am feeling funny about my jumper, I was more so making that comment based on the defense. Like, hey, take that jumper if I lose and I lose. I don't trust you're going to make this jumper. Was where I was coming from.
Talking about you as an offensive player.
Oh, no, I mean, I think that's where the legs are coming in. That's why, again, Chelsea, as you mentioned, 2 threes to kind of seal it. But, like, the legs were where they were, which is why I go to the other end, like, hey, you should probably test that. I don't know, straight line drive into a cross, you might just have the lane at that point. But either way, Chelsea Gray gets the dub.
Only you putting process on one-on-one basketball. My
God. I'm so sorry to disappoint. You've been doing this poppy for 5 years. You know what you signed up for.
Can change. Documents can evolve. You know, you can copy and paste. You can change the font.
Italics. Yeah. I'm in italics saying drive the basketball. Got him. Okay. Breanna Stewart defeating Lee Yeru. She did score this year, so shout out Stewie. Scored and won, 11-6. I was intrigued by the Lee experience early on until I realized, like, oh, this is just going to be 2 dribbles and a pickup. And you might want to work deeper against Stewie to utilize the height advantage because once she missed, it was just kind of cooked from there. But a valiant effort nonetheless. We had an upset, Steve. Sonya Citron knocking off Marina Mabry, 12-10. I feel like I owe Sonya Citron an apology.
I feel like you owe both these players an apology.
Why?
That's my opinion. Continue.
Why do I owe both? Here's my thing. As I did my media bracket, I had Sonya as the 7 seed in her pod, if I remember correctly. And it was more so like I trust the defense. I think she'll be able to guard. I don't know what the self-creation is going to look like in this format for her. But as we got to the second half of the game, I was like, oh, okay. Well, here's Sonya. She is showing off the footwork. She's getting some fun finishes in here. Got the jumper to go. Like, it was like, okay, well, there you go, Sonya Citron. So I want to give her the salute. The Marina apologies where I'm trying to figure this out. Because, like, I feel like you felt like I had her seated too low.
You did.
She lost.
See?
What am I apologizing for?
Next matchup.
Okay. Next matchup is crazy. Kelsey Mitchell defeating Rachel Banham 12-3. And that was not a fun matchup for Rachel Banham. Opening drive, I was like, yeah, this is not going to go well. We had Arika Ogunbowale defeat Brittany Sykes 11-2.
Time for you to acknowledge Arika.
She had herself one heck of a... I was super waiting for that one to be like 12-10 somebody, whether that's Arika or Brittany Sykes. Arike ended that much quicker than I thought she was. She deserves the salute. This is why she was, as we talked about it on the last pod, like she was kind of my wild card. She's going to be in that like 3 to 6 range for me. But like, if the jumpers are going for her, she has a very versatile scoring package. Like she could absolutely heat up and win this. I didn't think it was going to be 11-2. Like that was a lot. So salute to her. As we get to one of the big matchups, Aliyah Edwards versus Dominique Malanga. 11-8.
Ooh, what
the
win battle that was.
It really
got real interesting for Aliyah Edwards because Dom is very tall, very athletic, mm-hmm. tough to finish against. I think that's probably the one fun part about the pods changing is your skill set is tested very early against someone else who can take it away size-wise. So you don't have the same level of success. So it got tricky, but Aliyah Edwards is tough in this format.
Mm-hmm.
Very tough in this
format. She's so good off the bounce. Like I did chuckle a little bit because like I thought the game was over initially. It's like, well, actually she didn't clear it. We got to run this back. We actually have more. So we had a little bit of light for Dom. Ultimately couldn't get it done. Aliyah Edwards gets it done anyway. So maybe another deep run for Aliyah Edwards coming. Ray Burrell pulled off an upset against Ryan Howard, 12-9.
It's time to respect Ray Burrell's offense, by the way.
Like that may actually be where I owe the apology. Cause like it's very much been for me. Well, go ahead.
Oh, are willing to give.
Yes.
Okay.
Once again, Ray lost. But in all seriousness, like on the right night, Ray Burrell can drive on the right night. Well, not can drive, but can finish off of drives on the right night. She can knock down threes, et cetera. And like for me heading into this format, it's like, ooh, okay, what is it going to look like? What is the consistency scoring wise going to look like for her? She can naturally guard. She had it against Ryan. And this is what the high end of Ray Burrell can look like. Also, like she doesn't mind jawing with folks too. Like she's a very fun competitor, both in this context and just an unrivaled it with basketball, period. So shout out to Ray on that one. Paige Becker's defeating Kate Martin 12-5.
Step through.
Yeah, she had the moves.
But go ahead.
I was gonna say I appreciate Kate at least making it more respectable. Like she did fight back towards the middle of the matchup. Paige ultimately wins anyway, but
yeah, no choice. And you want to talk about a fight, Shakira Austin, Derek Hamby,
yes,
went back and forth before. And this is why it can't be win by, no. It's first one past 11 because they went for 10 minutes. Like, we have a TV window. We got to get up and go. They were going back and forth, band for band, drive for drive.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask how did you feel about get to 11 versus the natural like win by two in whatever format?
I love win by two, but you can't do that. One game could literally end your whole episodic beat, you know what I mean?
Okay, fair enough. And we got Jackie Young beating Isaiah James 12-4. And Veronica Burton defeating Courtney Williams 11-0 in what was the shortest matchup. The play-by-play on AllTheRival.com had the matchup at 1 minute and 15 seconds. 1 minute 23 seconds was flirting around there. I did not think, like, Veronica Burton beating Courtney Williams is not a massive surprise. Like, I would have had Courtney Williams winning that matchup for similar, like, I talk about Ray Burrell, like, they can score in some points. But, like, what is the consistency going to look like in a one-on-one setting? So, like, I would have had Courtney, wouldn't have been surprised if Veronica Burton wins. 11-0, Courtney Williams doesn't touch the ball to the point where she is going to the sideline. Like, oh, my God, I cannot believe this happened to me. I did not have that on the bingo card. I'm sorry.
Hey, look, Veronica Burton, all she came to do is play defense and Euro step. The underrated part of this, in a minute and 12, drew two fouls and got to the free throw line. Because if you foul someone twice in a row, they get to shoot a free throw. That's not how that's supposed to work. She just went full Marshawn Lynch on Courtney Williams.
It was so rude, Steve. It was so rude. Like, to have her one miss, she gets an offensive rebound off of it. It's like, hey, man, this is bullying. What this ultimately ended up being. And then shout out Ray Burrell, giving Courtney some grief after the game. So it was a very, very fun bit. But that sets up the upcoming slate, Steve, to where we have Veronica Burton versus Kelsey Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Natisha Heidemann versus Kelsey Plum. We finally get to see that matchup as that got passed through with a bye. Arike Ogunbowale versus Paige Beckers in the Wings matchup. Jackie Young versus Chelsea Gray in your Aces matchup, which is going to be fun. Aliyah Boston versus Breonna Stewart, Steve, is fascinating to me. Shakira Austin versus Aliyah Edwards. We have the 1-8 matchup, finally, of Alicia Gray and Saniya Rivers. And we have the upset specials. Ray Burrell taking on Sonya Citron. So of these eight, Steve, what are you most intrigued by?
I'm intrigued to see who between Ray Burrell and Sonya Citron continues their run. I think for me, it's the big matchup between Stewie and Aliyah Boston. I want to see Paige and Arike.
Paige and Arike? Okay. I think that is fair. I think for me, I mean, what Veronica Burton just did, like, I kind of want to see what her versus Kelsey Mitchell looks like, because Kelsey Mitchell had a lot of fun with her drives in the first matchup. I don't think she gets to those drives with the same level of ease against a Veronica Burton. And if Veronica Burton is just bringing the power drive game, that feels like it'll be a fascinating matchup. So
I have one question, one free throw before we leave.
Okay.
So we missed one event, which was Celebrity All-Star Game on Friday, right?
Ah, I see.
Giannis will be there. Shawn's will be there. Glorilla will be there.
Uh-huh.
So Courtney Williams said that she was receiving some jokes about her performance. So my free throw is, will Glorilla score more points than Courtney Williams did in the one-on-one tournament?
It's a firm yes for me, Steve. As I've seen some of the practice clips, and Glow is hitting middies and banking in threes. Yes, she is going to, which will just feed into another level of jokes. But yes, I think she will. And with that, thank you for watching this episode of The Dunker Spot. If you haven't already, please subscribe. We are on Apple, Spotify, RIP Google, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us. Subscribe to the Yahoo NBA YouTube channel if you have not already. You can follow me on socials at NikiasNBA. You can follow Steve on socials at SteveJones20. And with that, we will catch y'all next week.